still there, but I've handed over, and I'm watching them, and we are all there. But I've not handed over all my powers. My powers can remove anybody from anywhere. Still. Yeah. But I'm thinking about, what about if I die? What about if I die tomorrow? Well, you cannot die. No. I've been in an accident where I almost died. God showed me that I can die at any time when He chooses. Today is finished. I finish your work. You come home now. You have to be 70. You have to be 80. You have to be 90. I believe I'll be 70 and 80 and 90. But Jesus was only 33. And John the Baptist was 30. And they haven't committed any sin that made them die at that age. The leadership of a child is characterized by not knowing the value of things. Yes. When you are a child, you don't know the value of many things. Many, I don't know about here, but many African nations drive out rich people from their country. You don't know the value of rich people. Driving out a rich person will not make others rich. When you drive out a rich man, it doesn't make other people rich. Yes. You see, because a child does not know the value. You know, there was a town in Ghana but there were diamonds around. You just have diamonds on the ground. They didn't know what it was. So they were using it as a catapult, like what David and Goliath were using it to kill birds. And you see, it's like this. $2 million is just flying like a stone. They don't know what it is. It's just all over the place. They're playing with it. They don't know what it's for. So you use it as a stone and that will throw it at this. They just pick it, throw it at this. Look at a goat. Throw it at a goat. Throw it at a dog. You don't know what you are throwing away. You don't know how valuable it is. So a child does not. When a child is a leader, doesn't know the value of this man, this man, this man, this man. You say, get out. Get out. Especially rich people in many nations are treated as thieves. In poor countries, they are treated as thieves and as evil men. You see, but in America, they don't treat rich people. They rather write the top richest men, the top 100 richest, top 200 richest. I've never lived outside Africa. I've only lived in Africa. I know when people are blind and their eyes are open on stage, they say, I'm a white man. But I've never lived outside Africa. I've never even been to school outside before. Not even for one day. Yes. Since I was born, I'm here. And I've seen rich people hounded out all over Africa. They go to Europe, they go here, they go. And the Europeans are waiting to receive them. Come unto me, rich man. We want more of you. And we don't want them to. And they go away, they go with all their jobs. They go with everything they have. Their knowledge, their understanding, and all that. And they go away, expertise, what have you. You see. Now, when you are a pastor and you are a child, you also don't know the value of things. When you see a book like this, you look and say, how much did you say it was? How much did you say it was? We have something here that we are we've got is called the Makane. You know, the Makane. We made it specially. It's for hearing. You know? This is for pastors. People who are either pastors or want to be pastors. For listening. Hearing is the master key to becoming anything in God. Yeah. But you see pastors go, how much did you say it was? Many pastors don't listen to preaching and don't know what is involved, what is the importance of listening to preaching. Amazing. When you are a child, you drive away what is valuable. For instance, a man of God can make the difference in your life and ministry. You see, I am an example of these two things. Hearing and being open to a man of God whom God sends to me. You see, many years ago, and that's what often I share about catching the anointing. I was, you know, I don't know if you know Scripture Union. Do you know Scripture Union in Zimbabwe? Yes, I am from Scripture Union. My real foundation is Scripture Union. Bible study, quiet time, read your Bible, pray every day. This is how I know God, how I knew God, through SU. Now, one day somebody gave me a book by a man called Kenneth Hagin. And I read it. When I read it, I said, wow. Then I said, what else has he written? What else has he written? So I started to find more of his books. Then I found he had preaching. That is this one. And I started to listen to him preaching. I would listen all the time. That one day I noticed something. I noticed that when he preaches and I listen and I go and preach the same thing, I found my preaching more powerful. And I found people used to comment. I was only in secondary school when I noticed that symptom. Some of you don't notice anything. I don't know why. You only notice beautiful girls when they are walking by, but you don't notice spiritual things when they are happening. Huh? So I noticed that after the Scripture Union meeting, somebody would say, hey, it was too powerful. And I thought to myself, I just downloaded what I learned from Kenneth Hagin. I noticed it. So I liked it. Then also, I like listening. You know, the Bible says, it shall be sweet in your mouth. I like listening to it. So I started to put it on. Nobody ever told me to do that. When I'm praying. And I listen when I'm praying. Sometimes I've heard the same stories and the same preaching again and again. But I just like listening to it. One day, when I was in medical school, 1988, I was forced to go to a place called Suhum in Ghana. And in that town, I had to stay there for 1 month as part of my medical school, because I was in medical school from 1982 to 1989. So in 1988, just about 7 months before I finished, I was in this town and I was praying. Normal prayers. That's an ex-Christian Scripture Union praying. And one night, I knelt down by my bed and I was praying and I fell asleep. But I woke up again about 2 a.m. And as I was on my knees praying, Kenneth Hagin's tape was somewhere there. He was preaching. And suddenly, something jumped out of the tape and entered my belly. I felt something entering me. And then I heard a voice in that room, that small room, reserved for medical students. I heard a voice in the room saying, from today you can teach. That was the anointing that came upon my life as a young 25-year-old boy who has started a church with just 25 members. Nobody in my church, only children. From today you can teach. From today you can. That's what's written here, you see. Where is it? There. From today you can teach. That's this one. And from my 25 members, God anointed me, and here I am. 15 million books. This one, 15 million. Yes, almost 15 million. Many people read my books because it's an anointing. It's not just I'm writing to be famous or trying to get money. We are not here to get money. I don't believe in doing business in ministry. Business is the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is, listen to the mark of the beast. In Revelation, he said, no one shall be able to buy or sell without that mark. So buying and selling has that mark. The mark of the beast. So we are not here buying and selling. No, ministry is freely have you received, freely give. So my friends, listening to messages brings the anointing. That is why my favorite subject is the anointing, steps to the anointing. The sweet influence of the anointing. You know, the sweet influence of the anointing is that the anointing has an influence you are not even aware. In this particular book, which is one of my favorite books, The Sweet Influences. You see that the anointing influences your achievements, your goals. You know, you see a lot of pastors, they say they are anointed. I'm going to tell you something. Don't be angry with me. If you say you are anointed with the Holy Spirit, let me tell you what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You shall receive power after my Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be businessmen in Judea and Samaria. You shall be doing business, and you shall be doing politics. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And the uttermost, I have not seen any Zimbabwean going to Nigeria to start a church. But I hear Zimbabweans criticizing Nigerians for coming to start churches here. True or not true? Why don't you go to Judea and Samaria? That shows the Holy Spirit on your life. You say you have the Holy Spirit. I've not seen you in Judea. Even in Judea, I've not seen you in Judea. Even from here to Kwekwe, you cannot go and start a church. You are going there. Nowhere. You don't go anywhere. And you say you have the Holy Spirit. I question whether you have the Holy Spirit. I question whether you have the Holy Spirit. Now let's continue reading Acts. Then we went to chapter 2. Then the Holy Spirit came. Look at the effect when the Holy Spirit came. As soon as the Holy Spirit came on Peter, he started preaching the gospel, not business. He didn't start motivational speeches when the Holy Spirit came on him. And when the Holy Spirit came on him and he preached, 3,000 people were saved within 30 minutes of the Holy Spirit coming to this earth, 3,000 people were saved. Salvation accompanies the presence of the Holy Spirit. You say you are having the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit, what did he do? What is the primary mission of the Holy Spirit? You shall receive power. Jesus' words. After the Holy Spirit comes, you will be my witness. You will talk about me. That's why at crusades, I talk about Jesus. When I come, I say, I'm here to talk about one person. Even if I've seen the dead raised, I don't mention it much. I've seen the dead raised. The dead was raised in my crusade. And they brought more dead people after. They brought and put dead body by the. Have you ever had a crusade where they brought dead body and put it by the platform for you to raise? I have been there. But I don't mention, I'm there to talk about Jesus Christ. Every night I'm talking about Jesus. When the Holy Spirit is on you, it affects. Oh, that's what we talk about. It is a calm influence. You don't even notice, but you realize that this is what you are thinking about. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that is on you. The spirit of the world is different. Spirit of the world is business. Is going to carry your oil to Egypt and make a covenant with the Assyrians. Shame on you, pastors. Shame on you. You've changed the church. You've misrepresented the Holy Spirit. You've gone astray. You've gone astray into money making and business and all kinds of things, which has nothing to do with the gospel. That is why you are poor. God doesn't support things He's not sending you to do. That's why you are poor. I said, that's why you are poor. All these marketplace and business pastors, they don't have anything. Only debts. Debts and loans. You say you are the richest businessman in Africa, you are worth 40 billion, but you are owing 60 billion. I mean, how do you become the richest man in Africa when you are owing more than you have? Huh? If you have the Holy Spirit, show me by your soul winning. And you see pastors rarely winning souls. You hardly hear me talking about money or prosperity. Now, what is prosperity? Is it not prosperity? Without prosperity, can we be here? Well, you get one truck and drive to Ghana so that we see that you are prosperous and come and do one program. Just one program. Eh? We are waiting to see you having your crusade in just even in next door South Africa, or go to Malawi and do a crusade. You not see any pastor doing any such thing. That's why you have nothing. Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When He's actually your shepherd, and He's actually the one leading you, the first thing that will come out of your mouth is, I shall not want. I don't need anything. That's why I can come and preach to you. I don't need anything from you. I don't need even $1. Wow. Hey, don't be angry with me. I'm preaching from the Bible. If you want to be angry with somebody, be angry with Jesus. Leave me alone. Leave me out of this. I have nothing to do with this. The anointing will amplify your ministry. This book says amplify. You know, I used to be just a pastor in a little church. And the Holy Spirit, and I always want more of God. And I said, Lord, I don't see any miracles. And some people were laughing at me, I don't have miracles. So I need miracle and power. Not money, miracle, power, and anointing. Seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You see, when you seek the kingdom of God, you will not need to pray. Or even preach every day about prosperity and money. And still you have nothing. After all your motivational speeches and preachings on prosperity, you have nothing. Nothing to show. Huh? You see, if I was American, I couldn't preach like this, but I'm from Ghana. Ghana was declared highly indebted and poor nation. We're declared one of the poorest, highly indebted nations in the whole world. That's the country I'm coming from. That's the country our church is. Yes, highly. We are now in 72 countries, including Zimbabwe. Wow. God wants you to have more than you need. But we don't believe seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all other things that will be added. We don't believe. You see, seek ye first something else. Hey. Tell your neighbor, the man knew you were coming here this morning. That is why he's preaching like this. Tell your neighbor, he knew you were coming today. Hallelujah. So, very, very important, the art of leadership. And now the art of following, which is the art of learning. You see, one of the reasons why we are down is because whatever Jesus said, we put it aside. If Jesus says this, we come up with something clever. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me, I'll make you. We have stopped following people. Most pastors don't follow anybody and cannot mention anybody they are following. That's why you are nothing. You are nothing in the ministry. Because the way to be made into something is to follow. Follow me, I will make you. Follow me, I will make you. You follow, you will be made. You don't follow, you will become nothing. Some of us as pastors, the only thing we can claim is having suits. That's not a pastor. Follow me, I will make. Now the word follow, this is my book, The Art of Following. Almost everything that you will become in ministry comes from following. I followed Hagen, and I'm still following him. That's how come I'm published. When he died, he had 65 million books printed, published. And now I have about 15 million. I'm following. Yeah. I'm following Yonggi Cho, who are the biggest church. Yes. And our church is one of the biggest in most of the places that it is. It's mega. You can Google in Ghana, largest church building, largest church, largest denomination. Google it. Search it. Or come and look for. Yeah. Yeah. I'm following the one with the largest church. Following, learning from, humbling myself to learn. You know, one day, and see, to follow means to copy. But you see, we are too proud to copy. Shh, that's why you are nothing. Because he said, follow me and I will make you. I will make you something. Recently, I took 51 people to Korea. And after I took them to the riverside and we were talking with them, and one of the people said, Bishop, I have seen that Yonggi Cho has copied a lot of things that we are doing in Ghana. And I told him, you are new. I've been coming here for 20 years and been copying for 20 years. We have copied from him. He did not copy from us. It's the other way around. You are nothing because you copy nothing and you follow nothing. Hey! Follow me and I will make you. That's why you are nothing. You are nothing because you follow nobody. You see, as I started preaching, I'm mentioning people's names. You cannot mention Elisha without mentioning Elijah. Cannot mention Elijah. You cannot mention Doug Ewart Mills without mentioning Kenneth Hagin. Without mentioning Bishop Duncan Williams, who is in Ghana, who was the pastor of the church where I went. You cannot mention. When I got born again, that's the church I went to. And I've always been committed there. Period. You cannot mention my name without mentioning Yonggi Cho. You can't mention Elisha without a connection to Elijah. When I was going into crusades, I said, who is doing crusade in Africa? Bonky. I am walking in Bonky's mantle. Whether he knows it or not, I am in that mantle. I'm wearing the mantle. Yes, it fits me nicely. Yes, I'm having the largest campaigns in Africa. All over, many nations. Yes, in Zimbabwe, history. I'm making history in every town. Yes. Yeah. I'm wearing it. I'm following. You are following nobody. That's why you are not there. You see, even when I say, hey, it is Bonky who says, hey, and I don't know why he says it, but I better say it because that's what he's doing. I don't know why he's saying it. You are shy of following. I'm not ashamed of following. It's not a problem. It's not my problem at all. I don't care at all. There is nothing original about it. I am the most unoriginal person you can ever find in the world. There's nothing original about me. I'm following. Follow me and I will make you. You are original. That's why you are nothing. If you are a sheep, how come you are not following another sheep? Because cows, sheep, they all walk in one line like this. Always following the bottom of another one. How come you are not following? You are an independent goat, an independent antelope who is walking on its own. You will be eaten by a lion. That's your future. Tell somebody the art of following is too beautiful. It's the cheapest, easiest way to catch up. You know, there is a book I once saw in the airport. It is called Why Poor Countries Are Poor and Why Rich Nations Are Rich. And chapter one, you know what is chapter one? You can go and find it on the internet. Chapter one. Chapter one is emulation, copying. Say, all rich nations are rich because they copy the other rich nations. They are completely shameless. Look, when it comes to copying, white people are the most shameless without embarrassment group of people. If you like, put air conditioner in your car, we will put one. Put music player, we will put. Power window, we will put. Anything you put, we will learn it. When America became a colony, they told America, you do the farms. You have farms. We will make, England will be making, doing the industry. And Americans said, you think we are fools. We should do farms so that you make whatever. No. Then there was born and say, don't do what the English people say. Do what they do. How can you compare yourself? Somebody is selling iPhone, Samsung television, cars, and you are selling tomatoes and pepper. And oranges. You can never be. All rich countries copy rich countries. And all poor countries copy poor countries. Any country which is poor copies his fellow poor country. And all poor countries specialize in farming. All poor countries are specialists of farms. There is no exception. Look, I'll give you an experiment. Get an aeroplane, okay, and a parachute, all right, and let the pilot drop you on any country with your eyes closed. And when you land in the country, you ask, is it a rich country or a poor country? And they say, if they say it's a poor country, then you can say, then I'm standing on a farm. And you will be correct. When you open your eyes, you say that you are in a farm. So, get a parachute and get a plane and go and drop yours. When you land, say, is it a rich country? It's a very rich country. Then there will be a factory. There will be industry. There will be something like that. Yes. All famines occur in nations which specialize in farming. All famines. All famines occur in countries which specialize in farming. All poor countries specialize in farming. All poor countries copy their fellow poor countries. Almost all African countries are poor. All African countries make nothing. All big churches do the same things. All big ministries do the same things. All small churches copy themselves and do the same things. Amen. Ask your neighbor, who are you following, by the way? What style are you following? Now, I'm coming towards, this is losing, don't close your eyes in front here, mama. She's not well. She's blind, okay. Nobody should close your eyes in the meeting. I don't, if you don't go out with your eyes closed, I will go out. So it's up to you, you can choose. I stop or you stop. I can't preach to you like this. Cannot be. Now, losing, suffering, sacrificing, and dying. This is the power of sacrifice. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. What does it say? The preaching of the cross is the power of God. The preaching of the cross. Doctor, can you read it?
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Mm.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
It is the power of God.
For the preaching of the cross is to them.
Preaching of what? Prosperity.
No.
Preaching of the cross. What is the cross? Losing, suffering. Philippians 1:27.
Philippians chapter 1 verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ.
Yes.
Not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Wow. Christians are also supposed to suffer. But now we are preaching happiness. Good life. Success, enjoyment, prosperity, acceleration, abundance without limits, enlargement, overtaking, overflow. These are nice words. But Jesus said, if anyone come to me, let him take up his cross. Anyone, including those of us who want to prosper, including the prosperity group, let him take up his cross and follow me. Hey! If any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brothers and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Luke 14. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God is showing us the power of sacrifice. Jesus said, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. That is why we are alone in our churches. Without fruits. Without fruits. Because the importance of sacrifice and suffering for God and for the beliefs of Christianity no more exists in the church. In fact, other religions have taken up this key. Other religions have taken up this key. Which religion has a leader who went to die for his beliefs? I'm asking you, what religion is that? Christian, which religion has a leader who, what is the name of when you go somewhere, you know you are going to die and you still go, what is it called? Suicide mission. So which religion has a leader who went on a suicide mission? Christianity. Others have taken up the principle of sacrifice for power. One day I went to Malaysia, and as I was driving by, the pastor showed me a mountain made of rocks. The mountain has steps. He said, every year there's a god at the top. There's a god at the top in the mountain. Every year, the worshippers of that religion come there and they walk on their knees on the rock up on their knees to the top and they worship that god and make a sacrifice there. And he said every year the mountain, that step is covered with blood. People walk on their knees to make sacrifice to their gods. You know, there is nothing like a religion without sacrifice. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, anybody who served God with sacrifice. Christians are supposed to serve God with a living sacrifice. But today, if I ask this pastor to go on a mission to a poor country, he may say, you know, one day a pastor was prophesying and he pointed and said, you are going to be my missionary in California where Michael Jackson lives. And he lifted his hand and said, I receive it. And then this one, he prophesied, you are going to be my missionary in Frankfurt, Germany. He received it. And he prophesied to another one. He said, you are going to be my missionary in London. Shibakata Sada Balaba. And he prophesied to another one. He said, you are going to be my missionary in Paris. And the pastor said, even though I don't speak French, I receive it in the name of Jesus. The will of God be done. Then he turned to another pastor and he said, you are going to be my missionary in Togo. And the pastor said, Satan, I refuse you in the name of Jesus Christ. I reject every wickedness. Satan, I bind your power. Hey. Why? Today, how many Africans go to preach in Togo? South Africans or Zimbabweans, you say,
the Lord has called me, I'm going on a mission trip to Senegal.
No, that is why the whole region has been dashed over. We are only going to London and America. We Christians, we are specialists of nice things and capital cities. If it's a village or it's poor at the back there, no. People are surprised when I go to preach at certain times. Why do you go here? Where do you stay? What do you eat? How do you go there? Why should I not go there? Are there no souls there? Did Jesus not die for all those people? Did he die only for the people in the city? We are sick. And we have thrown away our power. That's why the church is powerless. That's why the church is powerless. Even power to live right for God, we cannot do it. Yes. Most of us are living in sin. Yes. We can't control ourselves. Yes. We can't control yourself. Because you are not prepared to suffer for Jesus Christ. Hardly can you find a virgin in a church. Once you have had puberty, you will never be a virgin again. Today. But some time ago, when the cross was being preached, more than money, if you are in the church and you are not married, you'll be a virgin. Yes, if you are in the church and you are not married, you will be a virgin. And when you marry as a virgin. Both boys and girls. But today, I wonder why we are still wearing white dresses for weddings. We should have been wearing leopard spots for weddings. Zebra and leopard dresses. Hallelujah. Now, success is related to the keys of knowledge. Now, we are serving God in a kingdom that has keys. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Doctor.
Matthew chapter 16.
Yes.
Verse number 19.
Yes.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom.
The keys. Everybody say keys.
Keys.
Say keys.
Keys.
The keys of the kingdom
of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Everybody say key.
Key.
If there is a key, then there is a what? A room, a door. And if there is a door, there is
a room.
A lock. And if there's a lock, what is inside the door? A room.
There's a room.
Everybody say, your room, my room is waiting for me.
My room is waiting for me.
Yes. There are rooms. Room of church growth. Room of prosperity. Room of evangelism. Room of church planting. Room of anointing. Room of different rooms. But we are outside the rooms because we don't have the key. Because our kingdom is a kingdom with keys. Jesus said, I will give you the keys. That means the kingdom has keys. What is the key? What are keys? What is the key? Luke 11:52.
Luke chapter 11 verse 52.
Luke 11 verse 52.
Woe unto you lawyers.
Woe unto you lawyers.
For ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered.
You have taken away
the key of
knowledge.
Key!
Again, you see the word key of knowledge. So knowledge is a key. Knowledge is a key. We are cut out because we don't have the key. If I come, many times I've been to my house, I'm sure it has happened to everybody. You come home, you don't have your keys. So you are outside and there is inside. Oh, if I could only be inside, I could have my bath, I could rest, I could sleep, I could do something. But you are out because you don't have the key. Waiting for the one with it, for the key to come. Has it happened to you before? It has happened to me. So knowledge is directly connected to entering the rooms. Now, Mark chapter 6, verse 2.
Mark chapter 6, verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished.
Astonished.
Saying, from whence has this man these things?
Whence has this man these things?
And what wisdom is this which is given unto him?
What wisdom is this
which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand?
Even such mighty works are wrought by his hand. What wisdom is this? What wisdom, or knowledge and wisdom, they are brothers. It's almost the same thing, but it's different, but it's almost the same thing. What wisdom is this? What wisdom does such mighty works of God have been done? You see, you are not doing mighty works because you don't have that wisdom and that knowledge. It's the key to mighty works. The key to, that is why we have come here with all these books to defend your church. You have to fight against those who pretend. And I wrote a book for each of these. These are the attackers of the church. Any church you build, they will be there to spoil it. Those who leave you. People who leave churches and start a new church nearby using a similar name. If the name of your church is Hallelujah Christian Power Ministry, they are likely to be Hallelujah Christian Triumphant Ministry. They just change the power. Hey! And they break the church into two. Some of you sitting here are church breakers. Your church was founded by breaking somebody's church. That is why your church can never grow very tall. Because you fall into this group, those who leave you. Those who forget. You prayed for them. You anointed them. You helped them, but they forgot. When they're going, they don't even say bye-bye. They don't even say, I'm leaving the church. I want to say thank you for what you have done for me. No, they forget everything. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unrighteous to forget. Forgetting is called unrighteousness in the Bible. It's not only fornication and stealing, which is unrighteousness. Forgetting.
Yes. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love.
You are not doing well because you have forgotten many things. Because sometimes when you read a book, you read it only once. You forget. Has anybody ever done well in school by forgetting? When you sit in the biology class or geography class, what is the longest river in the world? And you write River Zimbabwe. River Chitungwiza is the longest river. You couldn't remember any of the highest mountain in Africa. You said Mount Kwekwe. You say, how can it be? You forget everything. Thing that has been taught, you couldn't remember. How can you ever become anything important? That's why you didn't do well in school, and that's why you can't become a doctor, you can't become a lawyer, you can't do anything. Because you can't remember. And in the same way, people who don't remember what has been done for them, yes, they don't do well in ministry. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You forgot too quickly. And those who are ignorant, it's easy to say, we can do it. Let them go. We can take over. Take over. We are taking over tomorrow. And when you take over, you cannot do anything. You can chant and sing. Look at this old pastor. He doesn't know how to preach anymore. I know all his sermons. But when you come and stand in the church, you can't do anything. You don't know much. People who are low down in education, they are very dangerous when it comes to the church work. Oh, yes. Lowly educated people. I prefer to work more with educated people than uneducated people. When you are uneducated, you don't understand anything. Even when they are being good to you, you don't understand. They say, no, we don't understand at all. No. Pack your things and go. No, we don't. But it is not as easy as it looks. Is it not true? Is it as easy as it looks? Not as easy as it looks. When you start to be the one in charge, you find out that it's not as it seemed to be. You see me preaching and you criticize. You criticize me, my preaching. You criticize my crusade. I have not even come. You criticize me before I came. I've not even stepped here. You criticize before I come. Why don't you take one car and come and have one crusade? You criticize me when I pray for the sick. Why don't you also just pray for somebody? You criticize the testimonies the people are. Why don't you pray and ask anybody? I don't know the people who are giving testimony. They come and tell us what is happening. I don't want to raise them. You criticize. We don't know anything. Your ignorance makes you talk like an idiot. Now, if you know you are the idiot, just look straight and keep smiling. Nobody will know that it is you. Just keep looking straight and smile. Nobody will know that you are the idiot I'm talking about. Those who are ignorant. And those who are dangerous sons. You gave birth to them. They accuse you like Ham, the son of Noah. He came to his father's tent and he saw his father naked. By the way, it's not a sin to be naked. And he took pictures and put it on Facebook. You see, this man is preaching to us all the time. Look at what he's doing. And he criticized his father. You people, be careful of the fathers, eh? You be careful of fathers. Be careful of old people who have been in the church for years and have done something for God. You must be very, very careful. So anyway, Ham forgot that if his father, who you say is a drunkard today, had not built the ark, Ham would not have been around to criticize his father. Some of us who criticize the Catholic Church, if the Catholic Church had not been there, you wouldn't be here. The Catholic Church was first. They are our fathers. They are the fathers of all churches. Yes. If they have not been there, we will not be here. From them came the Protestant before others and others and others. Because we criticize, we don't prosper. We are cursed children. Bible says, he that mocks at his father. You must never laugh at your father. Hey, you must always have a shy. No, no, I can't look. I don't want. Never let your mother beg you for money. Never let your father ask you for something. Before he asks, he needs, you provide it. Never, he shouldn't ask. If you want, the Bible says, he that mocks at his father, the eagles will pluck out his eyes and remove his tongue. Proverbs 30, verse 17.
Proverbs 30, 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. The eyes of him that mocketh.
So people who despise fathers are mostly spiritually blind. Because the ravens have plucked out your eyes. So you can't see much. So you equally fumble and stumble. Because instead of admiring and learning from your father, you are mocking him. And when you mock, you go blind. Now, Ham was cursed. And Ham is the father of Ethiopia, Sudan, Egypt, and all the African nations, the black people. And he cursed him. He said, a servant of servants shall thou be. This is maybe the only explanation for our situation as black people. Because what can I explain? A servant, does a servant build a house? How about, so and the servant stays on the outside, the outhouse. Does he build her? Does he prosper? Does he become rich? No. What about the servant's servant? So, and there were only three people in the world. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The only three people. And they were divided into three groups. And one group was cursed. You will be the lowest of the low. When you look at our situation, what can explain a country like this? A nation, even a nation like Congo. They have, every mobile phone uses what they have in Congo. There's only Congo in the world has that thing. It's in every phone. Rich, diamond, gold, this, uranium, everything. We have every. What can explain our situation? Is it politics? It cannot be politics. It's not politics, because if you don't know, you change your political system and nothing will change. You are new. We are the first to be independent in Africa. We started long, 60 years ago. We have tried everything. We are specialists of independence. Go to Australia and see black people there. You can't believe that they are human beings. They were the original people on the land. Go to America and see black people there. When you see Michael Jackson and T.D. Jakes, and so, you will think black people are rich. Go to California. I was in California. The pastor gave a speech before he introduced me. He said, we black people in America, we are the lowest in education, lowest in wealth, lowest in health, highest in crime, lowest in every parameter in the world. Black people. So those of you who are laughing at fathers, here are fathers who have been working in this church. You are mocking fathers. You should be careful. That's why you are cursed. You are a cursed son. Bible says you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor them. Those who accuse you. And those who are dangerous sons. So, this is just a diversion. I was telling you the key of knowledge. If you don't know about these things, you will build your church and it will never grow, because these people will come and share the church into pieces. That's why a lot of things don't work. Because of these people. Success in your ministry and achieving anything is connected to the key of knowledge and wisdom. What wisdom is this? Matthew 13:54, the same verse. It says, what wisdom, what mighty works. Where did he get this wisdom from? Where does he get this knowledge that mighty, mighty works are done? Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works?
Matthew 13:54. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?
Everybody say, I'm going to do mighty works through wisdom. Yes, the key of knowledge. That's why these books are here today. Success is always connected to knowledge and wisdom and books. That is why it says, this book of the law shall not depart out. This book. Joshua 1:9. This book. Read it. This book shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Success is connected to a book.
Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth.
This book
of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth.
Is connected to your success and your prosperity, I'm telling you. In the ministry.
But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Mm. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Is it not amazing? Prosperity and doing well is connected to the book. This book. Everybody say, this book. Say, this book. Say, this book. This book. Yes, that's why we came with books. And I want to introduce this as a library. Now, you see, if you are a genuine pastor, you will know that I am giving you a treasure. Now, one of these books costs, this is a library of 40 books plus 3 other books here. These ones are not in it because they came after. There's three of these. But these 40, one of these costs $10. Some are 15. So this set is about $450. And I've brought this gift specially to you. Not as a free gift. I'm telling you what it costs. It's a gift because the cost is not what I'm saying. Amen. It's about 450. But especially for you, I'm going to give all these books. And I like what the chairman in Victoria Falls said. He said, you have given it to us free. This is going to be given today for $55 instead of $450.
All.
The whole library. If you are young enough to learn, tell somebody young enough to learn, because when we are old, we cannot learn sometimes. They will be a blessing to you. Amen. And this one, a good general. One of my best books I ever wrote is this book, A Good General. Yes, A Good General. It's about fighting. And this one is one of the best books I ever wrote. It's called What It Means to Be As Wise as a Serpent. Yeah. How many know that serpents are around in Zimbabwe? So it's not easy to drive out serpents. And the anointed and his anointing. Beautiful. You'll be blessed. The anointing. One day I had a vision and a man came up to me and gave me a coat. It was a coat of my father, an angel. And he said, wear this coat. This is your father's coat of ministry. And now I'm wearing that coat. I'm actually wearing a coat. You can't see me. When the time comes, the coat will be taken off me. And it will be on somebody else. Or maybe a part will be on somebody else. It's the mantle of the anointing that makes you do certain things. So today, I don't know who you are, but I tell you, for me, many years ago, when somebody came to me and gave me a book like this, he was giving me my whole life. I didn't know. I didn't even know what it was. He was actually giving me my life, my ministry, my job. All these people that are with me. I came to Zimbabwe with almost 100 people. I must have something to come with a lot of people like that. Yes, from different countries. Different countries. We are here doing a campaign and sharing with you. He gave me a book as a teenager. And I started to read. He was giving me my ministry, my cars, anything, everything. I have it. And that's why I make this book as free for you. Because one of these is, this one is about 30. Well, actually, one of these books is almost the price of all the 40. I think they sell this one for about $30, only this. Whereas all these 40, because I'm going to make this one soon, it will be like this. But it will be another box. But now, this is how it is. I do it because I know that if a person gets a book, this book shall not depart. Thou shalt meditate. Thou shalt make thy way prosper. Thou shalt make thy way success. Thou shalt have good success. That's why I came with these books. The key of knowledge. But I started by saying that many pastors are feeding on wind. Do you remember I started with Hosea 12? Said they are following wind. And they are carrying their oil to Egypt to go and do business. And making covenant with Assyria. And that is why we are multiplying desolation and deception in the church. People who are completely in error are hailed as the most successful pastors in the world. People who have gone astray have led millions astray from the true gospel of church planting, church building, and going into the world to preach the gospel. Look at this book. 120 Reasons Why. You see, this is a short pastor's conference. How much can I teach? When I open only one point in this book, we'll be here till tonight. That's why I'm introducing the books to you and I'm showing you 120 reasons why you should be a soul winner. This book is called Tell Them. It's in the packet. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Lo, I will be with you. That is why he's not with you. You are going nowhere. You are going nowhere. Where do you? He said, go, I'll be with you. So he is gone. The spirit is moving. He is gone and you are here. And you are calling on his power. And he is not with you. If God is with us, why are we the way we are? And you people in Zimbabwe, you better thank God for your nation. Thank God for everything that you have been through. It has humbled you and has made you closer to God. So now it's time for you to be close to God and learn all the lessons God is giving to you. I've been to other nations in Africa. They are so proud. They can't even listen. They can't even hear. But God has given you grace that makes you humble. And if, you know, one day I heard somebody giving a testimony on TBN. He said, well, I thank God, you know, for many great things God has done in my life. And the first, I want to thank God that I was not born in Africa. That was the first testimony. You see, but there's a great blessing in being born in Africa. Humility. Humility. We are humble. We are humbled by the realities. You know? And where's the top 10 mistakes that pastors make? Where could it be? That's right here. You know? Humility. Who is the greatest? The greatest person in this room is not me. No, Jesus told who is the greatest. The greatest is the humble child, the person who is. So amongst us here, anybody here who is having the most humility is the greatest, not the apostle or the pastor. So as God has allowed Zimbabwe to go through what it has gone through and has made you more humble and more open, it's going to make you greater in the kingdom. You may not know. You cannot hardly teach an American anything. They think they know. They think they are the leaders of the church. They are no more the leaders of the church. America is not my leader. No. No. America is not my leader. It's no more the leadership of the church. It's no more with them. It used to be. If you follow most of the things in America, you will come to ruin. You come to desolation. As they are also falling into ruin and desolation. Yes. That's a reality. America has done many things for us in the church. They came here. I'm sure you had American missionaries in Zimbabwe. They live here, Assemblies of God. They gave themselves. Today it's not like that. The church is completely different. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Go.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go.
If you love me.
If you love me, really love me, feed my sheep.
Shepherding.
If you love me,
be a good pastor. Transform
my sheep.
If you love me,
and know I'll be with you forever and ever until the end of the world. Thank you.
Father, thank you for your blessing, your word today. Deliver us from the evil of barrenness. Deliver us from the wickedness of barrenness. Deliver us from emptiness, from feeding on wind, following wind, the east wind, Jesus. Deliver us from deception and desolation, which has befallen the whole church. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for your power. We love you. We give ourselves to you. And we say, have mercy on us as ministers. May we fulfill your will, we ask, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, before I take my seat, I am once again introducing the Makarios to you. We have that available. And also right here, the materials, the Makane and so on are available for you. We brought it just for you. And it will be a blessing. They are at prices that you'll never understand. If you like, take this book and go to the printing press and tell them you want to print it. Brought it all the way for you. Amen. Also today, before I take my seed, I want to lead you to sow a seed. Amen. An offering. Because I believe that there is no prosperity without giving. And as we've come to Chitungwiza, God wants to take your ministry to the next level. Some years ago, I was in a town in Europe. I sat in a church on a Sunday morning and the Holy Spirit said to me, sow a seed in this church and I will give you a church in this town. And sow the seed in that offering. And I have a church in that town up till today. It has been a blessing. So, as a good ministry has come here, I want to ask all pastors and all of you, not as a duty, whether you give an offering or not, we are here already. If you don't have to give anything, we are going to Harare and other towns. We have been to so many places. One of the days, we traveled 800 kilometers from Victoria Falls to Bedbridge. Yes, with all these cars, you can imagine the fuel. Most of our cost is in fuel. Yes. So, what I want you to do is to sow a seed from yourself or your church. I want to say, evangelist, we want to give $1,000. Want to give $500 or $100 from your church or $50, $10, $20, whatever. But you want to sow a good seed. Don't say we don't have money. You have money. You know, Zimbabwe, I have not seen any old cars in Zimbabwe. If you want to see old cars, come to West Africa. We show you old cars. We have 1950s and 60s. We have all cars. Wooden cars. We have even wooden ones. Do we still have wooden trotters? Yeah. But I believe that there are many of us here. God will bless you. And, you know, one time we had a crusade somewhere. And our truck, soldiers came with guns and pointed at the driver. So the driver was scared and he was driving a big truck. So the truck went back and fell over the mountain. Yes. Now, in that town, only one church came to us and said, we've heard that your truck fell down. Here is some money to help in the crusade. Only one church. And it was a church that I know prospers. And it prospers. So, I don't want you to be this type of, we don't have any, we are here, we are poor. No, it's a bad way of thinking. This is the beginning of change in your life and ministry. Amen. So, I'm going to give you an envelope. And tonight, if you don't have it here, I don't think you may have it here, go and get money. Have money. And sow a seed. because can you imagine, we have been here for 30 days every night. How many people have programs 30 days long, including traveling, morning and evening, like that? It's not a small thing. So all you can do as a Christian is to say, I want to sow a seed and it shall be a blessing. Amen? But you don't have to if you don't want to. It's not by force, because I'm leading you to do something spiritual. It's a privilege. It's not because of anything. But if you want to, it will be a blessing. And I know many of you want to do that. You can pay for the fuel. We like fuel. If you are owning petrol station or you want to give coupon, when we went to one of the towns, somebody just bought fuel. He filled all the trucks. That was a blessing. We prefer that even to money. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen. So if you are here today and you want to say, evangelist, I want to myself personally in my church, I want to give, come and take my envelope. And tonight is our last night here. You can bring your special offering. If you want, you can come for my envelope right now. If there's anybody like that here. Can I have some envelopes, please? God bless you. Thank you. Doctor is also giving out envelopes. Whatever you want to give, it's a blessing. Tonight, you bring it and it will be a blessing. Special seed. Healing Jesus campaign seed. Thank you, pastors. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God will bless you. Yes, God will bless you. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Some of you are going to have evangelistic ministry with crusade trucks after this offering you are giving. Some of you are going to have, come. Some of you are going to have great ministries, big churches. If you love me, feed my sheep. Come all the way to the front. Come all the way to the front. Come to me. Come to me and take the envelope. Don't sit there and say, these people have money. No. The money that we have is from offerings like this. That's what we use. Everywhere we go, we take offerings. We are not Americans. I heard an American pastor say that when he goes for crusade, he doesn't even take offering. He just